There is nothing better in fantasy football than drafting a running back later on who then becomes a reliable starter for you nearly every week. That's what today's show is all about. What we did, we took the redraft ADPs from all your home leagues and then compared them to our own rankings to tell you who we are much higher on than the market, than the public. There are some great names here. Jadarian Price, Bill Kroski Merritt. I won't name them all. Stay tuned. Yesterday, we talked through 8 wide receivers that your fantasy league is drafting shockingly wrong. Today, we got 6 running backs for you. How we did this, we aggregated, compiled all of the redraft sites, compared it, packaged it into one number, and then we look at our own rankings. And Hayden, once again, it's our job to tell you why we are smarter than all the platforms that millions and millions of people draft off of.
Yeah, sometimes higher, sometimes lower, sometimes correct. Unfortunately, also sometimes incorrect. But today's, I'm starting to feel it. We're getting some injuries in the news. And like that's where like these rankings discussions, it's like, okay, you liked them a little bit. Now you better like them a lot because they're going to be up in about round 5, round 6 now.
I think injuries are going to make their mark on the running backs this August and early September much more than the rookies are. Let's put it that way. Like, I think this is a difficult year to find major running back ranking discrepancies because of the, let's say, lack of running back class that just entered the NFL, because typically those guys are undervalued. We can, you know, rank them and draft them a little bit earlier. I do want to say the headliner from this group that we spent a lot of time on earlier this summer, so we won't do it here, has been Ken Walker III for us. I mean, he's the composite in all your redraft leagues, running back 11 for us. He's our running back 6. Why do we love K9 so much this year?
Just history of Andy Reid, Shady McCoy comes to mind for me. Kenneth Walker, I think it does a pretty good Shady McCoy impression. They gave him a bunch of money and they have a good offensive line, something that Kenneth Walker has never had before. This has been a high success rate rushing offense. Right. That's a credit to the offensive line and to the scheme and having Patrick Mahomes be a threat. They have not been an explosive one. That's why you add the Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, they ranked 10th in yards before contact last year, the Kansas City Chiefs did, but 32nd in rush yards after contact per attempt. And as a whole, the Chiefs were 20th in explosive carries last season. So they learned and they kind of showed that efficiency and success rate can only take you so far. And, you know, getting the explosive plays, especially when now the coverages are playing Patrick Mahomes in this passing attack, getting that through the rushing game is more and more important than ever. And hey, and I think what we've seen through beat writers and, you know, clips is maybe more under center work from Patrick Mahomes this preseason. And that's just going to lead to like better rushing angles and ways to attack with Ken Walker, who was the only big addition to this offense this entire offseason. Okay. You mentioned injuries. Let's get into and further down the board here. We had a big one this morning. Chuba Hubbard is week to week with a hamstring issue. Now, Dave Canales is certain he's going to be out there in week 1. Hayden, we have mentioned multiple times that Jonathan Brooks at some point is going to leapfrog Chuba Hubbard in rankings. However, right now, Jonathan Brooks is the running back 32 in all your redraft leagues. He's my running back 28. He's your running back 30. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, this one, obviously, you have to adjust the rankings because Jonathan Brooks has won. He's healthy enough to be playing. Every report from this offseason has been promising for him. He was always going to have at least a role in the pass game, but he does have the upside to make this more of a bell cow. I'm guessing that's not what the Panthers want to do coming off of a second ACL tear. But now that Chuba Hubbard is not going to probably practice that much for the rest of training camp, that gives Jonathan Brooks a chance to run away from the job. I don't think that's likely that Jonathan Brooks is going to absolutely run away with this job. I still think that they like Chuba Hubbard, but Chuba Hubbard has an injury history himself here. So right now, for the first time, I have moved Jonathan Brooks ahead of Chuba Hubbard. I still think that they should be fairly close together. I'm not sure how good the Panthers offense is going to be right now either, but I know that everyone's going to love Jonathan Brooks to the point where I think that he's going to be ranked pretty aggressively here in a second. And I don't think I'm going to be chasing him up that high, but I totally get the upside case.
A lot to hit on here. The first one is the Jonathan Brooks train has now left the station. And so it's kind of up to you to decide if you want to hop aboard it or not, and just how aggressive you want to get with it. So right now I do feel comfortable with his ADP, ranking him higher than his ADP, because I believe in the talent. And I'm also reading the tea leaves of how, you know, the Panthers have, through media entities, projected that they love Jonathan Brooks. I mean, this is from Cam Wolf back in like July. If Jonathan Brooks is healthy, they have the expectations of him potentially being the lead back over Chuba Hubbard in this offense. So Hayden, I think the optimistic case is, well, that's already happening now because of the injury to Chuba Hubbard. So whereas in previous instances, if they both went into week one at 100% or close to it, then it would take time. It would take weeks. It would take months. It would take great performances for Jonathan Brooks to potentially leapfrog Chuba Hubbard. In this case, does that even have to happen? Like now, if Brooks looks great for the next month in practices, in preseason, because it actually sounds like he's going to play in week one of the preseason and week three of the preseason, he has then maybe the first crack at being the lead back on this team for a team that loves to run the ball, even when they're good at it and when they're not.
Yeah, I keep going back to that Wolf report, though, that he said that the plan is for him to mix in with Chuba Hubbard, and that if then, he could become the lead back. So, like, I still think the Panthers went into this offseason thinking that it's going to be Chuba Hubbard on the ground and Jonathan Brooks through the air. Is a multi-week injury in training camp going to make them reassess that? I think most likely not, but the odds definitely have climbed up. I think that the price tag is going to be where this gets interesting. Like, is he going to get to Jaylen Warren? Is he going to pass Jaylen Warren and get towards Bucky Irvin and Bajal Touton? I think that's going to be the case. I think there's a lot more risk, both on the Jonathan Brooks side of it, the exact role that he's going to be playing in, plus how good the Panthers offense is, where I don't think the risk should be that high. If it's him versus Tony Pollard, I think like that to me is kind of fair game to be ranking those two guys. I have Pollard ahead. I feel more comfortable about his role here. And then eventually we'll get to the Chuba conversation. But there was so much hype coming into this that this is like the little ingredient that's just going to send Jonathan Brooks all the way up. I would not be surprised if he's like a 6th round pick here in a little bit.
Right.
That's getting dicey to me. You know, like that to me is like where I'm like, okay, there's a plenty of red flags here. And if Chuba Hubbard comes back on Labor Day and is practicing and plays week one, to me, that's going to be like a lot of risk at that price tag.
Yeah. If you're drafting today on Yahoo, he's a 9th round pick. And like you said, this can be the spark that starts the flame that everyone was just waiting for him to be a 6th round selection. So a lot of the names that you mentioned, I already have Brooks over. Like, I already have Jonathan Brooks over Jaylen Warren. I have him over Tony Pollard. So put your Jonathan Brooks goggles on, okay? Let's say you are the most optimistic, bullish Brooks fan out there. What is the absolute ceiling that you could take Jonathan Brooks? Is it Quinshon Judkins, Dave Montgomery in that running back 21-22 territory? Is it just behind them?
He's nowhere near that to me. Like,
okay. Yourself in the position of someone else that wants to be hyper aggressive on Jonathan Brooks.
To me, it would be like the Cam Scadaboo from the rookie season last year.
That's even higher.
Yes, like if it works out, you can't draft like an if then statement as if it's going to for sure happen. So like, I think preseason rankings versus what he could possibly do, I think he can have like a Cam Scadaboo type of impact where he caught some passes, ends up being the goal line back. The team's not that great, but it's enough for him to like showcase his skills. Jonathan Brooks was a hell of a prospect. He wasn't a Jeremiah Love type of prospect. He was a rock solid, no doubt about it, starter prospect at the time. And I would guess that the Panthers aren't going to be like, hey, he's healthy today. Let's give him the ball 25 times per game. Like, to me, that sounds a bit too much. I know that they like Chuba Hubbard still, and Chuba Hubbard has not been ruled out for week one. So, like, to me, this is correct. Where I think that he could be Cam Scadaboo if then. I'm not going to be, you know, paying that price tag as if all these things happen.
To answer my own question, if I was sitting here saying I'm leaving my draft no matter what with Jonathan Brooks, I still would not take him earlier than the DeMont, Quinshon Judkins, and probably Bucky Irving area. But then after that, like where he's going in Yahoo right now, and this is the end of the 5th round, Trevion Henderson, Bajal Touton, Jadarian Price. If you want to exit no matter what, then by all means, take him there.
Yeah.
But I'm still keeping him around the range that I am right now. One final point. The last 2 years since Dave Canales took hold of this team, and yes, they're switching over to Brad Idzik calling plays, the Panthers are going to run the football. That is what they want to do. They have been very successful in it. We saw Chuba 2 years ago. We saw last season 200-plus yard games with Rico Dowdle. But even when they lost Robert Hunt and then lost Brady Christensen, guess what? They still ran the football, even when they had low success rate and low efficiency. So this is one of those organizations that if they are running for 12-yard gains or they're running for 2-yard gains, they are still going to give their running backs opportunities. And for that reason, I'm kind of, again, it's making me more optimistic than it would be in other situations.
Yeah, that's why I'm still leaving the light on for Chuba Hubbard. I got him ranked 102nd overall, just inside my top 40 running backs. I still think there's a chance that he could be a flex this season. And if they just stick with the initial plan, which I do think was Chuba Hubbard 1A, Jonathan Brooks 1B, but obviously just the odds have shifted between exactly that.
Do you think it's as simple as the two ADPs just flip? Again, right now, Brooks is going in the 9th round and Chuba Hubbard is going on like the 6-7 turn. Is now Brooks going to go in the 6-7 turn and then Chuba Hubbard goes in the 9th round?
I know how you guys operate. I know what hype is for these young players. I know how this thing goes.
Okay, let's talk about some other young players. And this is the section of the show that we are much higher on these players than where they're being selected right now. And the first name is a rookie. Yes, it's Jadarian Price of the Seattle Seahawks. He's being drafted in your home leagues right now as running back 26. He's my running back 24, and he's your running back 23. Now, something interesting happened here, right? When I outlined this show, brought up the names, compared the ADPs and all that, I sent them to you, and then you started doing your research, and your only reaction was, quote, I've got to move him down. Why was that your first reaction?
Yeah, I don't think I'm viewing Jadarian Price as like some like home run selection. I draft him a little bit, but not too often when I'm doing these drafts. He kind of is in like a weird spot where there's a bunch of kind of unsettled roles, like the Bashaul Tuten type of tier. Travion Henderson comes to mind. And I think that Jadarian Price's role is a little bit uncertain. Every single report, it seems like Zach Charbonnet is just like way ahead of schedule. It's like, I'm still not fully buying it, but like when the 9th beat reporter says it, like you have to like, okay, maybe I'm just an idiot and that these guys are just going to come back from these serious injuries like 2 months ahead of schedule. But like those are the type of reasons why I'm not all the way in on Jadarian Price. I think Jadarian Price is an interesting prospect. You can go watch our full video on him, but to quickly sum it up, I liked him like in terms of his vision and he had a little bit of pop. I was surprised that he was only 203 pounds. He like almost seemed like he would be running heavier than that. But when he came in that light and his lack of just there's no proof that he's going to be an awesome receiver. There's also like no evidence that he's like not going to be able to pull it off. So it's a lot of like the if then statements that have to kind of go his way here. But once those quarterbacks are off the board, like I'm starting to look around and I don't feel great about those wide receivers either. I don't feel great about those running backs where I'm mixing Jadarian Price in. So like, I was just surprised that like when you're sending up this composite, you're like, we're way higher than Jadarian Price. I was like, I'm not drafting him as if that's the case. I'm fine with him.
I thought that this might be one of the scenarios that I'm too good at my job. And that might come up a bit later on here because I am verging on being quite in on Jadarian Price here. And let me outline why, okay?
Yeah.
A lot of the conversation this offseason has been around Jadarian Price versus George Harlani and how different that is, you know, than the Ken Walker, Zach Charbonnet stuff. But in my mind, you know, whenever people hear about split backfields, they're always like, it's going to be 50-50. Well, to me, George Harlani is going to take most of the passing game work. But as we've outlined with other of these backfields, like the true pass game situations is the least valuable role in a lot of this stuff. Receptions happen on first and second down. And really what was the huge difference last year that K-9 didn't get there for the vast majority of the season was because he would do a ton of the work. And then they got down to the 20-yard line or the 10-yard line. And that's when Zach Charbonnet would come in, get a carry or two, and get a touchdown. It wasn't that Charbonnet was playing passing situations or the 2- and 4-minute drill. It was that when K-9 would get them down the field, here comes Charbonnet to vulture touchdowns. And it got to the point, Hayden, where when you look back on the season, Zach Charbonnet had the 6th highest market share of any ball carrier across the league at 65% of the Seahawks carries inside the 10-yard line. That was 31 carries for 10 touchdowns. And so there's a lot of other statements that can happen here, right? For one, for as long as Zach Charbonnet is sidelined, I would expect Jadarian Price to own that goal scoring role, right? The touchdown scoring role. That means for however long that is, we could have massive, massive spike tweaks for Jadarian Price. Now, the other part is what you just said. Every observer of the Seahawks is saying, hey, maybe it's week two or week three that Zach Charbonnet returns, that it's not going to be the PUP list. I mean, that is crazy when you think that this major surgery that he had happen back in February, and now he's already back in the flow. But then the other aspect is, well, how good is Zach Charbonnet going to be once he gets back to the field? Is he going to be even close to what they did last year? So there's so many of those question marks around Charbonnet at this point, and even Helani, that despite the questions that Jadarian Price had in his profile, I'm kind of leaning into, well, he has clear areas of strength and clear draft capital attached to him as the 32nd overall player, that maybe we're not giving enough credit to, that he's kind of the constant and the good qualities to this versus the questions of the others.
Yeah, I would just get worried that when Chuba, or when Zach Charbonnet does come back, that he's so much bigger than Price that he's just going to retain the goal line role. And like, you don't have to be like fully healthy and like fully explosive to be the better goal line back versus Jadarian Price. Like, that's where it's kind of in the back of my mind a little bit. I've got him in like a draftable range. I'm not going to poo-poo this one at all. And like, if he goes and he's as good as Kenneth Walker and Charbonnet's on himself, like, he can absolutely pay off like multiple rounds ahead of this. And to your point, if it's the first, you know, month of the season, I will probably be ranking Jadarian Price like ahead of like Quinshon Judkins and maybe David Montgomery, or him and David Montgomery be pretty close in terms of like the role and projected points and whatnot between those offenses. It to me is just like, once we get back to Charbonnet mixing in a little bit more, that's when I'm like, okay, is he then just going to be the RB 27 from like that point forward, which is like not that big of a deal, but you know, he might start as like RB 17 and then finish as like the RB 28 as the, as like the committee like really starts to show himself.
And then there's the statement that the Seahawks plan paid off last year. As much as we got frustrated by the split backfield, it did allow for Ken Walker III to be healthy in the playoffs. And that turned into unreal performances and a Super Bowl MVP because he was fresh and he was healthy at that point. So that directive seemed to stem from, you know, Mike McDonald, and it probably is going to happen again this year. So I do wonder, even if Jadarian Price looks like the obvious best talent because of health and size and talent and all this type of stuff, that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to have a 60% workload, even once we get inside the 10-yard line. But I mean, I think when you zoom out, it's not, you know, that unrealistic to kind of fade a guy coming off a massive, massive surgery just like 6 months ago, and thinking he's going to just go back and completely inherit 65% of the workload that he did inside the 10-yard line. And if that's the case, then I think Jadarian Price has a real chance of paying off, and we're not talking about it enough.
Right. We're also talking about a first-round pick on the defending Super Bowl championship team. Like, it's easy to see how this thing, like, could work out here. So, like, to me, I think it's an interesting conversation. Travion drafted after Jadarian Price in the draft. And there's not a Ramondre Stevenson on this team yet. Travion Henderson goes ahead because he's like, I guess, faster in a straight line, but it's like not even like,
Don't jump too far ahead. Let's put a pin in the Travion conversation, because that's a bit later. I know you're itching to get there. You're itching to get there. By the way, if you're enjoying this episode, hit that subscribe button. Preseason games really get rolling this weekend. And so that means next Monday and Tuesday, we'll have sweeping rankings changes and deliver it to all of you. Running backs, wide receivers, again, rookie performers, who played and who didn't on the depth chart and who looked great. We'll watch every single preseason performance and deliver the goods for you for your fantasy draft. So hit that subscribe button and leave a thumbs up. It's totally free to all of you. Okay. This next one is where I am too good at my job, Hayden, because Bill Kroski-Merritt has a composite running back 40 ADP in all your leagues. He's my running back 35, and somehow he's your running back 32. Like, what the heck happened here? Because I swear, I feel like I've been the one that has been pitching Bill Kroski-Merritt to you all summer long and to the audience, and now you rank him not just a little bit, but considerably higher than I do.
I mean, we should be probably targeting the backfield of the Commanders. The fact that, you know, there's upside with Jaden Daniels, and Jaden Daniels makes it a whole lot easier to open up lanes for his running backs. Like, I feel like they're going to be efficient running the ball, and then we just have to figure out exactly who's going to be the 1A versus the 1B. And in my rankings, you will probably draft both of Rashad White and Jacory Kroski-Merritt. I was just like looking around. That tandem is just being priced way after so many different RB2s in the league on offenses that are not nearly as good as the Commanders. And I was just like, okay, we're just got to move both of these up. And as I learned more about the backfield, a couple things that stood out. Number one, Ka'Tron Allen's really not mixing in to the point that it might be a different guy as the RB3. The second thing is Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. They're at least experimenting with him as a pass catcher. It's a good time to be experimenting, but like sometimes like these guys, like they don't even get to that point. And the fact that they're at least giving him that gives him the upside to be more of a second and third down guy, not just an early downs guy. Plus, like Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt is pretty fast, and I thought he ran with like decent patience in a pretty complicated scheme last year. And this one is kind of more towards his bread and butter. So it's not necessarily that I'm out on Rashad White. It's more just like if it's just going to be these two guys, and I'm not worried about the third back, then like I'll roll the dice.
Yeah, I've been drafting a ton of Bell this year. I actually think his running back 40 ADP is because, you know, he was drafted way earlier last year. People maybe bought into a seventh round rookie, and then he had his moments, but how he finished the season was not great. And they're kind of sick of it and they're over it. I'll buy into that post hype sleeper stuff right now for Bill. And one thing stands out, Josh Connerly, who's their second year tackle, mentioned that they were great on outside zone last year. They just didn't run it enough, and that they will this year. I've brought this up before, but Fantasy Points noted that the Commanders were best in the NFL in outside zone last season at 6.1 yards per carry, and Bill Kroski-Merritt led the NFL in yards per carry on outside zone at 7.6. So I understand if you were frustrated with him last year. Shows like this one brought up how he was getting used and used and used like he did early in the season. He did lead this team in touches in terms of the backfield, yards from scrimmage, and touchdowns as a seventh-round rookie. I think it's absolutely feasible that the seventh-round rookie then gets who missed an entire season of action the year before, then just gets better and more comfortable in his second year in the league. And I don't think that's being priced in at all here.
Yeah. And even with, like you said, like the draft capital, like there's a big asterisk on that because like he was just suspended the year before that. And like, he might've been like a third round prospect that we're labeling him as a seventh rounder with that actually doesn't like match the talent on the field. Rashad White, it's a 1 year, $2 million contract. Rashad White, you know, he can catch passes, he can pass protect, he's bigger, he can be in the mix in the goal line. So I have both of them inside my top 100. I'm just now ranking Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt ahead of Rashad White because they're experimenting with him as a receiver. Like, that was the big negative, and at least there's hope that that's not going to be a negative this season.
And why was it a big negative? He just had 7 receptions in college. The big thing here is just don't be a flat out zero in the passing game, right? Like, show enough hands that they can trust you to be on the field. And it's not just a tell when you're out there as, oh, they're running the football no matter what. Because that is the case with certain players in the history of the league. He's not going to be Rashad White, like you said, in the passing game. And probably pass pro is something that he definitely has to improve on. But at least he's getting glowing reviews from people out there like Ben Stanick and company that at least he's improving in the receiving game.
Fumbles have also been an issue with him. So to me, I think they're going to like, hope that Ja'Cory Kroski, I think he's going to start the season. They're going to hope that he can be the guy. And if he makes too many mistakes, then Rashad White's going to pay off. I think that's just kind of how this is. And it's impossible to know exactly how it's going to work out. But the fact that it seems like it's Ja'Cory until proven otherwise rather than the opposite, that's how I'm going to stick with my rankings.
And we do need to bring up the Laremy Tunsil injury brought up yesterday, talking about Terry McLaurin. Not ideal. Definitely not ideal. Yeah. But, you know, they either move Josh Connerly over or they move Brandon Coleman from guard to tackle, and we'll see which one happens. Hey, and I just realized that on, I think it was July 6th, we posted our 6 favorite running back sleepers, and we're basically talking about them all again because we are still, those are the players that we still are most over market on in comparison to the public out there. So that brings us to Jordan Mason, composite ADP in your home leagues of running back 39. He's both of our running back 36. The drumbeat is glowing during training camp. Why are we higher on Jordan Mason?
That Aaron Jones looked a little bit worn down last year. He's 31 years old. He's been taking, you know, pay cuts recently. Jordan Mason, they signed that multi-year deal with him because he was like awesome in the advanced stats. Well, the advanced stats are still pretty strong for Jordan Mason. And the offensive line is now, I would say, fixed versus a work in progress. over the last couple seasons. I feel way better with Kyler Murray being the top guy versus JJ McCarthy. We'll see if McCarthy straight up gets moved here, but I think like between the tackles, rushing explosiveness between the tackles, like under center runs, I think it's without question Jordan Mason's better than Aaron Jones there. I think Aaron Jones is going to mix in on the passing downs. That's going to prevent Jordan Mason from reaching this huge ceiling. There was four games without Aaron Jones, week 3 through week 7. He was the RB 16 on RB 24 usage in half PPR. He handled 63% of the carries. That's probably about like his ceiling. And I'm not expecting him to get there, but is he going to have 13, 14 carries and I think be the favorite for goal line in week 1? And is that enough to be your flex? I think that that's where we're getting at. And right now he's being priced as of like, there's no option that he can be your flex. I think in half PPR, the wide receiver that you draft in round 8, I think is not going to project for as many fantasy points as someone like Jordan Mason, who's going to go multiple rounds later.
Yeah, I mentioned the glowing reviews. We've talked about Matthew Collar's notes previously that Jordan Mason is going to be this team's running back one, that Aaron Jones already showed signs of slowing down last season, so the Vikings will be careful to limit his touches. Another one from Jason Harmon, who has a show on Score North, that Jordan Mason looks, quote, insane through camp so far.
All right.
Massively underrated burst around the edge we get to see with this new run scheme, and that new run scheme is Frank Smith, who is coming from Mike McDaniel's Miami Dolphins and implementing this outside zone system. So yeah, I mean, Jordan Mason has always been a very good, just true ball carrier, right? Like even last year in a bad Vikings offense, he averaged 4.8 yards per rush, which was 12th best in the league, and then 10th best in terms of yards after contact per rush at 3.41 yards. So if Aaron Jones falls off a cliff at 150 touches, we see that with our eyeballs. The Vikings, I think behind the scenes now realize that, and there's a chance that your boy Xavier Scott, the former wide receiver who popped last year in preseason, now maybe takes some stuff away from Aaron Jones too. Then Jordan Mason, again, as a true ball carrier, but guess what? That could equal touchdowns. Maybe yeah. He is the guy to steal one of your phrases that, quote unquote, farts into the end zone for 9-10 touchdowns this season.
Yeah, it'd be a powerful fart. My advanced nugget that I saw from doing some research for Devon Achane, it was yards per carry when not hit behind the line of scrimmage. You at least make it to the line of scrimmage since 2022. Devon Achane number one, by the way, 9 yards per carry. Jahmyr Crazy. Gibbs 2, Derrick Henry, Jordan Mason,
yep,
and Kenneth Walker. By the way, the worst in those metrics is like Isaiah Pacheco, Kareem Hunt. So that's a good metric about explosiveness. Jordan Mason being fourth there, you know, that caught my eye.
One more name that we're much higher on, it's really you, Marshawn Lloyd, the, I guess now third year running back for the Green Bay Packers, has barely played a snap in the league. He has 7 touches through 2 seasons because of that. The people out there in their leagues draft him as running back 62. For you, he's your running back 47. Why are you in love?
There's just so much uncertainty around Josh Jacobs, and this offense is good. I want the backups that are clear RB2s on teams on good offenses, and especially if there's, you know, some downside risk with the starter. If you're looking at the top 15 or so running backs across the league, more than half of them, we do not know who the RB2 is behind them. It makes very frustrating to do handcuff rankings this year. I think that Marshawn Lloyd is one of the best, like him, Tank Bigsby, like not counting like Blake Corum, but like those two ones are my top targets. Josh Jacobs, let's say there's like a 20% chance that he's suspended, but if it's like a domestic violence related suspension, those could be like up to 6 games. Like that would be like a significant, not like miss a game here and there. It's like missing 6 or so games. Plus, you know, there's the upside case that Marshawn Lloyd's explosiveness just makes them not have to lean on Josh Jacobs to the extent that they did the previous season. And I think it'd be smart for Josh Jacobs' workload to go down a little bit because he's been picking up some injuries. He might probably lost a step in terms of the explosiveness. I still really love how Josh Jacobs runs, but you can start seeing how maybe this thing gets a little bit more committee-like. But we're here for if Josh Jacobs misses time. And right now, all the reports, it's not that Marshawn Lloyd is healthy. He's balling out. And we have to remember with him, he was a real prospect. Like he had explosiveness. He had the size to take on the work. He actually caught a lot of passes in college as well. So I do think we should be taking him serious. And he really has worked on his body. He's gone to like all these crazy labs in different states. And they seem to be really happy with him. So I there's so many great beat reporters on the Packers beat. And all of them are reaching the same conclusion that like he's a big time player for the Packers this season, they're taking him very seriously.
Just to talk through that, in 2024, his first year in the league, he had a hamstring strain in like the first training camp practice. And then that was then followed by an ankle sprain in week two that landed him on injured reserve alongside appendicitis. And then 2025 season, sidelined with a groin strain, a subsequent thigh hamstring issue, and then a late season calf hamstring recurrence that then put him on injured reserve. Now, that all brings us to, apparently he spent, as you said, months this offseason working with Dr. John Mayer, who plays guitar every once in a while,
yes. I think too,
yeah. In California with like the goal of fixing his body. He found out that he was overcompensating at his ankle and hip due to a torn ACL, which he had back in college in 2020, and then had less quad strength because of it. So Christian Watson did something similar like last offseason. I don't know if it's the same doctor or whoever, but we saw once Christian Watson hit the field on the same team, bing, bang, boom, you have an elite player. So hopefully Marshawn Lloyd has figured out his body, figured this out, because as you said, they need it because Josh Jacobs' strength, his superpower, has just been, you know, owning 85% of the workload, basically. And so that drops down like 75% in even the games that Josh Jacobs plays. There is a difference in the outcome for the two running backs, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think there's like a chance like he has like a spike week or two in best ball formats, like completely unpredictable as like the pure backup. But just if you're looking at the top 15 running backs, like who's most likely to miss time, it's the guys that get the ball a lot with an injury history. Josh Jacobs is that. Also suspension risk, like he carries some of that. Adam Schefter. Now, I think people are, I would say, overreacting to that Adam Schefter thing where he's like listing the players that can be suspended. There were so many if-then statements across that. It was almost like these guys could get suspended.
Turn this into the if-then thumbnail. Yeah. Like that thumbnail does not hit as hard as what I usually do.
No, but to me, that was like, this is just a storyline. That didn't feel like a report. It was more of like, you know, Schefter saying like, this is what we're expecting this season. These are the guys that could be suspended. Like the NFL is investigating. I knew that the NFL was investigating them. That did not feel like, hey, this is going to happen. Here it comes. It was more like, the NFL's looking into this, but I already knew that.
There is one running back that you and I are much lower on than where he's being selected in your leagues, and that is Trevion Henderson, composite running back 25. He's both of our running back 28. Hayden, I am a Hendo optimist. I think his top-end speed to pull away is rare. We saw that last season in games that when he handled 70% of the workload. I mean, he was a running back 10 in points per game. Weeks 9 through 17 last year, the most important part of your fantasy season. But I think this one's pretty simple. He is not going to be the guy that gets the ball on the first series or the first carry. We are drafting kind of the second running back on the Patriots higher than the starting running back on the Patriots. And that's like the main reason why I'm lower on Trevion Henderson than where the public is selecting him.
Travion's obviously got a huge ceiling. If he somehow steals the job, if Ramondre misses time, he has a chance to be a top 10 running back. I also don't think that he's the only guy that with that type of profile, and like we can't be drafting him towards that ceiling. I come back to a couple things. Number one is pass protection was pretty brutal last year. Some of it was like not understanding where it's coming from. Some of it was just like a size issue that I don't think he's gonna be able to fix. Ramondre Stevenson does not have that, for example. By the way, Ramondre Stevenson has been like in this system for a long time. Ramondre is also a very real prospect who's been quite efficient. I think the other big part aside from protection is Ramondre was really good as a receiver and also had a ton of explosive carries. And then inside short yard situations, so I'm looking at three or fewer yards to go, Ramondre Stevenson plus 31% rush yards over expected. And then Travion was at negative ones. Ramondre handled 12 of the 16 inside the 5 yard line carries when two of them were active. The gap in the playoffs was substantial here. Ramondre Stevenson was the RB1 overall in next gen stats rush yards over expected per carry last season, number one overall. So we're not talking about like he has to flip some scrub. Like Ramondre Stevenson was pretty effective in all the ways that Travion was supposed to. So it's not that Travion has to get better. Like Ramondre also has to get worse in these categories. I think they'll split it this year. I have them back to back in my rankings because they're splitting it. I don't think that the upside is going to be as clear as if one of these guys ran away with it. And I'm just not hearing the reports that that's happened.
Yeah, I also have them back to back in my rankings. If you just search and look of all the running back twos that are selected in your fantasy leagues, Ramondre is the first one off the board, as he should be. I mean, he's the starter for this team, you know? And again, I hope Trevion can take a leap in year two. That's what happens. We also have people like, you know, Chad Graff saying it looked a bit like last season, big explosive plays, but just enough mistakes and pass protection that it feels like a risk to use him on third downs. If you can improve that skill, though, look out. I did see another report from Mike Giardi. Hayden, this quote actually was just hilarious to me.
It was quote, not great.
I told you I haven't seen much improvement with Trevon Henderson's vision and patience, but I don't have access to practice film. So, I mean, again, there's a reason why that you and I, you know, will go to games and watch games or, you know, watch them on television, but then we don't really see what happens until we actually do the rewatch on the tape. So, look, I am not out on Trevon Henderson as a player. Again, I am an optimist, and especially if he has somehow, some way, the running back one label in this offense, really great things can happen, because I actually think a lot of the issues for the rushing game for the first half of last season were the tight end to tight end blocking. It was rough, but they moved things around. They brought in new pieces, and that should improve just overall.
Maybe.
But I am out on where he's going in drafts right now, unfortunately.
Yeah. I just can't square that Jadarian Price goes after him. Like, to me, like, objectively, young players, they're both good prospects, both good teams. One has Ramondre Stevenson. The other one has Zach Charbonnet coming off of injury. You know, like, I just don't get it.
All right. We'll leave it there. He just doesn't get it.
Don't get it.
Thanks you for tuning in, everyone. I appreciate you all watching this. Again, we have a wide receiver version of this. We also have Hayden's favorite pick in every single round on the site right now, plus plenty, and I mean plenty, of other shows that we've done over the last 3 weeks. It's been a lot.
It's not even just the shows. I've been riding like a madman. We have our rankings. The yes. Ultra Draft Kit is out there. If you guys want to go support Yahoo, support our work there. It's like 150 pages. Yes. I have like specifically PPR rankings. I have rookie expectations in that. I think I have about like 50 blurbs, like multiple paragraph blurbs on there. So if you're like looking for where's the writing, one, Yahoo Sports, and then more is paywalled over here. Tiers, different types of league formats. Like, there's so much going on in that playbook. You can go over to the site and support us, support Yahoo. It's the best way to do that. And it's like, I think, really valuable to have 150 pages. You can just keep it on your desktop. You could obviously print it out, bring it to your draft. And we have to update that thing every single week, so it's not going to get stale.
Yes. Yeah, you said it all. That is Yahoo Fantasy Ultra. That's on top of Fantasy Plus. We showed you in our mock draft that with Fantasy Plus, you can just choose Hayden's name or my name and draft just off our rankings in the Yahoo lobby, which is pretty freaking sweet. But this has so much stuff. As Hayden said, it's 150 plus pages. In fact, it includes the college football fantasy stuff on there as well. So yeah, I mean, everything that you need, you've been asking where to find our content, and it's there on Yahoo Fantasy Ultra. All right, everyone. Talk to you on the next episode. See ya.